Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, the 12th of May, 2016. This year just flying by. Can't seem to put the brakes on it. First of all, a listener wrote in, and I'm sure many people are wondering about this also, that we had announced a big, many announcements that there was a planetary alignment this past week, and it kind of ran around the 10th yesterday and a couple days before. But let me just make it clear what this alignment amounted to. It was more of a visual alignment, but the question was, did this have or could this have had something to do with low latitude auroras, tornadoes, other weather systems, strange conditions? I always get this also, that people say, well, the stars are not where they should be, the moon isn't where it should be, the sun is 10 times hotter than it should be. And basically, things are pretty much the same in those respects. But here is what the cross-system solar system alignment was all about. And then I'll do a little commentary on this. Little Mercury, which is like the spark plug of the solar system, raced around, and basically we had a linear alignment with Mercury and the Sun. Now, the linear alignments are significant because the electron beam that connects us with the inner part of the solar system that's coming at us from the Sun as part of the discharge of the solar capacitor, that was on about, well, the 10th, but also Earth had a new moon on about, it's on the 7th of May. And so anyway, the new moon is not really significant. What is significant is about two days after the new moon, it's what I call in my weather work, the new moon passing. And what happens is the new moon is out there. The moon is between us and the sun. It's blocking the solar wind. It is basically a comet. It's taking the brunt of the electrical discharge from the sun. But as it moves out of the way, all of a sudden that electron beam comes blasting into Earth. Now, the moon is 250,000 miles away. Our solar buffer, our geomagnetic field, our plasma magnetic field, is about 35,000 miles away, about a tenth, not quite a tenth, maybe 11% of the distance or something, but, excuse me, relatively close to Earth relative to the location of the moon. So when the moon moves out of the way, the solar wind comes blasting it in, it compresses the Earth's geomagnetic field, and this compression goes all the way down electrically to the troposphere, which is what we call our local weather system here down on the surface of the Earth. So that happened about 2 days later. So that's about the 9th. And Little Mercury had its alignment in there about the 7th to the 10th. And so any place in that time frame is where these things can couple. Also, there is another alignment far, far out in the solar system that I won't even mention because I don't think it's significant. But Little Mercury is a spark plug, and it's very active. We've seen it ignite comet activity on Venus, where Venus actually becomes a comet, and I find it extremely comical that NASA has come out and admitted that. They said, yeah, Venus and Mars and, gee, all these planets that don't have magnetic fields develop cometary-like activity. And, gee, I wonder who's been saying that since about 1979. But let's talk about Mars. Was Mars in alignment with Earth and Mercury? No, not really. We are still catching up to Mars. So it was not in the equation. It's not in the equation yet. And what about Venus? Because some people were talking about the four inner planets of the solar system, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars, being in alignment. Venus is on the other side of the solar system, so it's kind of a visual alignment, but not truly an electrical significant alignment. And so really, we're down to just the Earth's new moon passing and the little planet Mercury, the swift-footed Mercury. Remember that Mercury is viewed in the Greek mythology, Roman mythology, as the swift-footed messenger. And so, and in astrology, Mercury has a great significance because of that impulse. And when I did work with the Russian scientists in the mid-1990s, they were atmospheric scientists, but the psychologists at the University of Novosibirsk wanted to sit in, and they were studying, trying to find a basis for reactivity of babies reacting to the positions of the planets. And they were very interested in my work because it gave them the solutions. The electrical conditions, certainly it was not the gravitational conditions, because we are gravitationally neutral, literally, to all the other planets in the solar system, even the sun. The tidal effects are a second level effect. It is a differential force because one side of the Earth is closer to the moon and the sun than the other side, and therefore we get the tidal effects. But the moon has a much bigger tidal effect than the sun because it's a short-range force. It's a 1 over r cubed force, so it drops off very quickly. So even though the sun is much bigger, the moon has a much greater effect tidally on the Earth. So anyway, a little physics 101 lesson there. So that's to answer some queries coming in from listeners. The rest of tonight, I'm going to be talking about rods from God. Now, this is a topic that there's another one that came in this last week over Turkey. And it blew up in the midair above a town in Turkey. And so, of course, there's a lot of political activity going on in Turkey. And, of course, Greece is vying to opt out of the European Union. There's a lot going on over there. But a rod from God is a military weapon. It started out as a kinetic energy weapon, meaning that it used kinetic energy to do damage. But since, they have developed explosives in the rods from gods, and basically think of this as an arrow that's orbiting Earth, and when they want to bring it in, they just bring it in and drop it down out of its orbit, and when it hits the Earth's atmosphere, it basically comes in, looks like a meteorite, sounds like a meteorite, but really it does not look like a meteorite or an asteroid, because it has this long, thin, smoking tail with a lot of vortice type activities coming from the rod itself. So it's very distinct. It looks very much different than a bolide ball or a like a true asteroid or meteorite or something like that, which has more of a ball shape. And so anyway, let me just describe this again. I believe I talked about this last week. How do you tell the difference between a real asteroid or bolide or meteor compared to a military weapon rod for God? Because they both come in, they're streaking across the sky, they both leave a smoke trail, they, to the average observer, they look pretty much the same. But the real bolide, meteorite, asteroid, when it comes in, the remember that the front side has got a lot of heat. And typically, it takes a certain position based on, like, these things usually are long or oblong shaped. And so they take a position relative to the air that's rushing by them. And so anyway, they don't tumble a lot unless they're almost spherical. So anyway, the front side is burning off. And as it does, it's literally called the Kawanda effect. It's a property of air rushing around an object that adheres to the object, so it comes around and it kind of forms a tail, but there's a big kind of smoke screen coming off the outside. And it kind of tapers off, kind of like a water drop that's dropping out of a dropper, you know, how it's elongated and connects up into the dropper. But that's it. The rod from God, which is a long rod, literally, has the front, which is the heat shield, which is burning off, and that glows extremely bright. So you got this big ball of bright light right up in the front. You have kind of the same properties of an asteroid, but now you've got this big long rod, which is also very hot, and it's burning that's coming off the nose is coming along. It actually forms like a little vacuum path along the rod. And so a lot of this smoke trails along, and as it leaves the back end of the rod, it causes a lot of vorticity. But you get this, a lot of this smoke that's actually following right along the rod. And so what's the result? As the smoke trail comes out, you get a long, thin tail, and it's a tremendous amount of vortice-type action in this little thin tail, because it's as it comes around the rod, and then the rod is no longer there, the rod is moved forward, you get a lot of this vortex type of activity, but in a very thin string. And that remains along the sky for quite a long period of time. Whereas the true asteroid, the smoke, there's kind of like a trail, but it dissipates relatively quickly. This is how you tell the difference. Also, the rods from God come in almost horizontally. And now I found it comical that I kind of searched the internet for what other people might be commenting on rods from God. And I found all kinds of people who just don't have any scientific background, or possibly have just enough scientific background to be dangerous, but talking about rods from God as a kinetic energy. They had no concept that these are charged with either conventional explosives or nuclear explosions, which is the case, for example, in Ecuador. The one that blew up over in Russia, this was February 15, 2013, when an alleged asteroid came in and hit a little town in Russia. And, of course, Putin knows this, but he's got to play his cards. He's not going to jump out and start World War III every time people in the West throw a dart at him. And so, anyway, but that was, if you remember, immediately after that alleged bolide hit Russia, there was tremendous amount of, in the Western press, oh, we got to have more studies, NASA needs more money to study bolides, because look at how it can affect the general public. The problem is, and this is the reason why I'm talking about rods from God, is they are using them on civilian populations. This is a weapon, it's a U.S. weapon, and they are totally on the international scale. All the international treaties, which, by the way, the United States has refused to sign, in spite of their claims of, you know, bringing democracy to the world and peace and justice, the United States has refused to sign these treaties, but targeted weapons from outer space are totally illegal by anybody's standards. But the U.S. has them, they're militarizing space, and now they're using them on civilian populations. The one in Ecuador is a primary example. So I'm talking about this because, this morning I had the opportunity to be on the Joyce Riley Power Hour show talking about earthquakes. And so you can check out that archive to see what transpired there. But that is a part of this. That's a subset of this entire topic. Tonight I want to concentrate more on the rods from God aspect of this, where they, in Ecuador, shot one from outer space. They bring these in, and they can target these things literally within about 10 or 20 feet. Very accurate, even though they're smoking in at, you know, very high velocity. But here's the other thing that's very characteristic of a rod from God compared to an asteroid. Asteroids are typically moving at interstellar or interplanetary speeds. The rods from God are coming in, and you can tell, along with the Russian one, with other things that I've seen before, I've announced on this show, where they're coming in at orbital velocity. In other words, the orbital velocity in low Earth orbit around Earth is around 17,000 miles per hour. And so you think, well, that's pretty fast. But once they hit the atmosphere, they slow down, and they come across relatively slow and horizontally. Now, going back to the disinformation, once somebody brings this up on the internet, it appears that the disinformation crew comes out of the Pentagon, and they're all over this, and they're saying, no, they have to come down vertically. No, they don't come down vertically at all. They come across almost horizontally across the sky. They drop very slowly, and so if you see one, they're going to be coming straight across the sky. Many asteroids that are real asteroids or bolides, etc., come in nearly vertically. And so that's one of the things. If you see it, an object coming in horizontally, moving across the sky relatively slowly. And let me give you an example. Say you were outside an airport and you saw an airplane coming in at around, let's say, 3,000 feet, a jet airplane. You know, so it's down to a couple, you know, it's probably 150 miles an hour at that point, slowing down. It's dropping down in velocity, and it's probably going to land at around maybe 100 miles an hour, just round numbers. And so the speed at which that plane would be going over the top of you is about the same relative speed, visual speed, that's what you would see from the ground, for example, as one of these rods passing overhead. But of course, they're up much higher. They're probably, they could be 20, 30, 50,000 feet above you as they're coming into the atmosphere. But they make a pretty big scene when they come in. They're visible in the daytime and at nighttime, of course, very visible. Now, the videos that we have of these are very distinct. In fact, there's more and more videos of this of the Ecuador bolide, or the Ecuador rod from God, coming out. Remember, the first one that hit the news media was posted, and then they said, "Oh no, that was taken in Argentina in May of 2015." Complete misrepresentation. Then more and more came out, so they got Rutgers University, I announced this last week, to come in and make up the story that, oh, that's just atmospheric luminosity around an earthquake. But as I announced last week, the rod from God came in, you know, like a half a minute before in the explosion. The double explosion occurred seconds before the car started shaking in the security camera views that we see. So anyway, let me talk a little bit about the one from Turkey. But first, I want to talk about the disinformation crews, how they jumped all over this. Anybody that mentioned something, and like I said, these people are non-scientists that brought this up. They don't know how to react or talk about it. They don't know physics or science or orbital dynamics. It's way over the head, so they're easily buffeted by the disinformation crew. I'm not. I know what's going on. But at any rate, they were trying to say that the rods from God had to come down vertically. No. And, of course, they're trying to plant misinformation in the public mind. They're trying to characterize these as a kinetic energy weapon. No, they're very much a shell. And people were trying to say in the disinformation crew that, oh, well, due to the forces involved, etc., they couldn't put a charge in these. Well, let me tell you something. They have cannons that can shoot a shell 30 or 50 miles. And do you think there's a little bit of force in the barrel of that cannon when that shell is going out of there? And they have explosives in those shells. It's not like a hunting rifle where you have a shell and it hits something and just the kinetic energy is the total effect. No, these have dynamic explosives inside the shell or inside the rod from God, and they can go all the way from conventional to nuclear. And so the earthquake, and then the other thing that these have the ability to do is to penetrate to great depths into the earth. So this thing just disappears. I mean, this is coming in with high velocity, and it just burrows down into the earth. And I don't know myself how far they can get these. But remember, the other thing that these were designed for is what they call bunker busters. Remember when Saddam Hussein was hiding out in Iraq during the first Iraq war? And I think it was the Germans had come in and built bunkers. And so these were down under layers of cement, many, many layers. And, of course, every time you break through a layer, your device loses energy. So the U.S. got together and they said, how can we get through these big bunkers with some kind of a device? So that what they came up were with were multiple stages in a rocket or in a shell, that when the first stage hits and encounters something like resistance, cement layer, you know, 5 feet cement thick reinforced concrete, that one fires another shell to break through that and then go down to the next level. Then that shell, that casing, hits the next level of resistance and blasts again. And it's a way that you can break down through progressive layers of hardened concrete, reinforced concrete, etc., to get down eventually into the bunker. And that was, so all of this was developed. This is the way armor-piercing tips work, the uranium tips on military weapons like tank weapons, etc. By the way, these are horrendously illegal weapons. They use them in Iraq to the point where the Iraq people cannot have children because of the genetic damage that was done by depleted uranium, which is all over the place. It blew all over the place in Iraq, and the lot of deformed children. Just, you know, that's just so sick. I mean, the wars that have gone on, and, you know, whether it's Afghanistan or Libya or Iraq or Syria now, or, you know, Yemen or Sierra Leone, all the places that have been attacked by the United States in the last, you know, since the Bushes decided to walk out from under their rock, the Bushes and the Clintons and the Obamas and whatever. But anyway, the way the military shells work is they have a small nuclear charge on the tip. And when they hit something, they are so hot that they literally can take a tank or a hardened military vehicle, a personnel carrier, whatever, and turn it into just a ball of powder and smoke. That's an incredible amount of energy in these devices. So at any rate, going back to the rod from God, the whole point of this discussion is that they have that technology in the rods from God. So in the case of the Ecuador earthquake, which I would estimate it was within 2 kilometers of the surface, they are now reporting it within 9 kilometers, and I don't know if they've adjusted that or changed that since. But the whole point is I'm trying to describe the go into detail on the rods from God as a weapon, literally a military weapon, but these are being used on civilian populations. Why did they drop one over Turkey just this last week? And that one blew up in the air. Now, why, you know, you have to understand that if you blow something up in the air, there can be all kinds of disadvantageous effects, such as radiation, dirty bomb, various types of X-ray radiation where, you know, the people wouldn't die until 6 months or a year later. Are they depopulating like they're doing? Just by the way, I'm going to just go on a little side note because I don't want to forget to mention this. The big fire up in Alberta, some very good work. There's a webpage I visited now and then called BP Earth. I think sometimes he tries to talk about weather topics, which are, you know, my weather work type of topics, and he gets some things not quite correct. But he's got a video dealing with the Alberta fire, and he made some very good associations regarding uranium that has been found extremely rich. In fact, the potentially the richest uranium deposits in the world And much of the about, I can't remember the percentage that was talked about, of uranium that already comes out of that Alberta area. So they're literally not stopping that fire. In fact, it's starting to look like the government, or possibly the U.S. government in cahoots with, or by permission of the Canadian government through bribes or whatever, and also the Clinton Foundation with the deal that they will be selling this uranium to Russia, to the Uranium One company, which was a pass-through to Russian companies for sale of uranium out of Alberta. And so they're literally burning these people out of their land, a BLM type of tactic, so that they can get in there and get the uranium. So the way they're treating people in the world today, total disregard. Total disregard. The hypocrisy coming out of Washington is just absolutely incredible, where they sit there and they I saw that Obama was getting a roast, one of these roast dinners where a guy gets up and they make fun of him and some of the people in the audience. And, you know, then he ends by saying, what a great president. What a bunch of trash. I mean, these people are so corrupt and evil, and the human death and destruction that's happened under these, the destruction of people's rights, their home rights, their land, just wiping people off their property for profit on these international claims, especially up in Oregon. We now know that that was the case, where the Clinton Foundation took bribes, millions of dollars in bribes, through the back door while Hillary was Secretary of State. And now, in the writing, they were talking about back then getting the people off their property up there, specifically the ones that have been ousted, to get them off their property so that they could get at the uranium. They're destroying people's lives. I wanted to mention that. And I'm sure you can see those videos online regarding the Alberta fire being intentionally set and maintained to burn people off of their property so they can get in there. And by the way, it's going to make it a lot easier for the excavators, if that property is completely burned off, to get down and get in there into the rock, etc., to get the uranium out. So that is looking like I totally agree. Once again, the website is called BP Earthwatch. It's a YouTube channel. And I fully agree with that analysis. Okay, on to this, continue talking about the Rods from God issue. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the Turkey event. And there, the people were wondering, you know, what it was, etc. And the local police, mind you, made a statement, a public statement, said they wrote this off, or they determined that it was a natural event. Now, excuse me, boys and girls, but what's the police department in a country like Turkey doing declaring a astronomical event to be a natural event? Well, clearly somebody's pushing their button and making them say that. It's simply completely out of place. It doesn't make any sense. They don't have any authority or knowledge to make such a determination, but they come out and say, oh yeah, this was a natural event. Wow. So the question is, why were they exploding a rod from God over Turkey? And it had the exact same characteristic. When I first saw the videos, I thought it was the Ecuador video, but of course all the buildings were different, the vantage point was different, but it was characteristic rod from God, all the characteristics that I explained in the smoke trail, etc. Very definitely a rod from God exploding over Turkey this past week. So now, right now we have three cases that are concrete, and that's what I wanted to talk about. That was the announcements. I made a couple announcements. I said I wanted to talk about three actual cases, recent cases of the use of the rod from God, military weapon, a U.S. arsenal, over civilian populations, one in Russia, one in Turkey, one in Ecuador. I talked last week about the, in fact, listen to that show because I don't want to repeat everything in this show. But just to summarize, Ecuador is having severe financial problems. They're in debt up beyond their eyeballs. They have given away parts of their country, the southeastern section down on the Peruvian border, to China. Not as part of a payment for a loan, as part of a restructuring of a loan. That's a high concentration of oil down there. The oil companies are in there. They've destroyed tremendous tracts of land down there, polluted it with oil, oil extraction, and left the indigenous people there and the other people that just happened to live there in terrible condition. There's international watches over this, and the conditions there are absolutely horrendous. The water pollution is so, you see these people literally standing in oil. It's a very wet, some of those areas are very wet on the borderline with the Amazon region. And they're literally standing in oil pollution. The water is polluted. They don't, I mean, these people don't have any place to go. And the oil companies are just turning their backs on this. That's, you can see a lot about this internet. There's international organizations that are trying to track this and bring this to international attention. But back to the Rod from God earthquake caused on April 15th, or was it the 16th, in April this year, man-made event. And what does the President Correa do immediately upon the earthquake? He calls out to sell government bonds and look for International Monetary Fund recovery money, which is a loan which they'd have to repay. They don't have any more ability to take out loans or repay it than a man in the moon. So it's very clear this rod from God was timed to bring Ecuador down completely, nail the last nail in the coffin, to take it completely under the wing of the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund. But why Ecuador? Why is Ecuador important? Well, number one, it's like any country, it has natural riches. It's a oil-producing country. So anyway, let me just read a few recent news releases from Ecuador. But I'm going to preface this by talking about a 2008 release from Ecuador that there are large uranium deposits down in the southeastern region of Ecuador. It just happens to be the part that they gave to China, so it has large oil reserves and uranium. So we're back to the uranium deal, but here was the deal. That uranium was being prospected for by a company out of Bolivia and Russia. Now, with the Rod from God earthquake, guess what, boys and girls? China has moved in. The announcement here that Ecuador has no choice but to go to the IMF because that's the only choice it has of recovery after the earthquake. And, of course, China is in the Rothschild banking empire. Don't think they're not. And China gives Ecuador a $5.3 billion line of credit for recovery to come back and rebuild after this earthquake. And last week, the oil minister of Ecuador quit for no apparent reason, and he was replaced by an assignment from Rafael Correa, the president of Ecuador. So you can see there's a lot of shuffling going on in Ecuador. So what's the real thing that's going on? Well, underlie it with the fact that the uranium was being sought after by Bolivia and Russia. Of course, the other side of the coin, they have an alliance. They have a SWIFT pact. They belong to what the Bushes called the axis of evil, the people that were working outside of the petrol dollar, and a little rod from God activity there sure changed things all of a sudden, didn't it? Isn't that interesting? A little act of God type of... I wonder why they call it rod from God, because the typical old name for natural disasters was an act of God. Well, it looks like man has got his hand in the middle of this. So you're starting to see why Ecuador was targeted. Why little Ecuador? I mean, to me at the beginning, it didn't make much sense. I'm more of South American politics and Latin American politics, probably as much as anybody else. But all of this stuff didn't come together until you start to see oil ministers resigning, being replaced, loans, $5.3 billion line of credit with China immediately after the earthquake, the International Monetary Fund moving in to also pick up a lot of that slack, and the country of Ecuador simply being taken over by the other side, by Western interests, which, of course, the IMF, Washington, and the Federal Reserve is a branch of the World Bank, IMF, Rothschild International Banking Community, and their enemies, Bolivia, which has resoundingly thrown out Western influence. They threw out the Pope. When the Pope was visiting, I saw a live feed of the Pope visiting Ecuador, and right in front of the Pope, the president of Bolivia, Evo Morales, stood up. And I saw this on live TV because I watch a lot of international TV and feeds, and roundly destroyed the Pope right in front of a huge audience. And the Pope sat there, and the Pope did not like this, but Evo Morales basically told him, you are responsible for the evil in the world, the financial destruction. And he was going after the banking front of the Vatican, which basically holds the gold from around the world. And that's where they get their power from. And then through the English bank, the Crown, the corporation, which is basically the owner of the United States of America Corporation, the phony government corporation which runs the United States. And that's the reason why when you vote, it doesn't matter, because they run the United States. Doesn't matter who you vote for. It's a pretend voting process. But at any rate, Evo Morales let the Pope have it right in front of the public. And this, after the speech, they actually cut the live feed. They went to some little YouTube video about the Pope dancing through flowers and how beautiful the world is. And when the live feed came back, there was a little kid from Bolivia walking up to the Pope to give him the national hat, the campesino hat of Bolivia. And the Pope took it and threw it down on the floor in front of the little kid. I mean, this was not a happy engagement here between the president of Bolivia and the Pope. But anyway, I've talked about that on this show before also. But here you have Bolivia and Russia in Ecuador in the southeastern section at about six various locations, excavating and prospecting and setting up claims for uranium. And all of a sudden, you know, rod from God comes in, China comes in, takes over, China gets possession of that land down there, and I would say that the uranium deposit probably has much more value than the oil deposits. The oil minister of Ecuador resigns, is replaced, and all of a sudden, Ecuador gets a $5.3 billion line of credit from China and an unannounced amount of money from the International Monetary Fund, which puts Ecuador in such a level of debt, it would never in a billion years be able to pay that off. So who's the winner? Who's the loser? Well, certainly the people of Ecuador didn't win anything on this deal. They have been, soundly moved into the Trans-Pacific Pact through international agreements, which have gone over their head. all because of a little earthquake that happened on April 16th, ignited from a military weapon from the United States called a rod for a rod from God. Now I want to take you to Venezuela. Last year at this very time, there were many, many announcements, and these announcements come out of total disinformation campaigns that flooded the internet, supposedly from, and everybody was talking about these. I was invited on many radio shows to talk about this actual prediction, and one of them was that Venezuela would have an asteroid hit in May last year, and it would be on the coastline of Venezuela. Okay, so let's examine this. I did a cursory examine of this last year at this time when this prediction came out, but now it makes a lot more sense. Because remember, Venezuela has moved off of the petrol dollar. They have literally, in spite of the tar sands up in Canada, in spite of the other super large deposits of oil that have been discovered since, Venezuela has probably, in the Orinoco flow of region, has probably the largest tar oil deposit in the world. And so in Venezuela, gasoline is 4 cents a gallon, or 4 cents a liter, 16 cents a gallon. Back when there was some energy crisis during one of the Bush administrations, he said the president at that time of Venezuela, Maduro, said to Bush, look, I'll provide you with refined gasoline for under 50 cents a gallon, all you can buy. That's when you were paying $4 a gallon in the United States, and he could have done it. But, of course, the oil companies called him a threat and a terrorist and a axis of evil. But anyway, there's been a lot of financial pressure. You've seen a lot in the news about Venezuela. But you have to understand that is in terms of Western economics. They have alliances with other countries. And eventually, Venezuela will do quite well because they're moving into an economic alliance with Russia and Bolivia and Cuba and in a whole block of countries that are trading, including China. China is the two-faced dragon here. China is dealing with the West, and China is dealing with Russia and Iran, and China is, like I say, a double-headed dragon here. And basically, through bad business dealings, through Obama administration going really all the way back to the Bushes, the United States has taken it on the chin through the so-called free trade agreements and moving companies offshore with no consequences. And, of course, this is why Trump is succeeding wildly, because of the failed presidencies of the Bushes and the Clintons and Obama, etc. But not to mention other international disasters. People are just trying to get back to some semblance of normalcy. And another Bush or Clinton in the presidential office would probably take this country down to the point where, just like Ecuador, it could never, ever recover. And that's probably the point. But it's interesting to note, as I talk about uranium, that the Clintons are very involved in all of this. And, of course, they were instrumental in getting these people, throwing these people off their land in Oregon, down in Nevada, the same thing with their buddy Harry Reid. And not to mention the Canadian companies and the transformation of the Canadian companies into fronts for Russian companies for uranium, now burning off the oil, the forests up in Alberta, Canada, where the rich uranium deposits lie, and then this event down in Ecuador. But going back to Venezuela, and they were talking about a two-week window when allegedly an asteroid was going to come in and hit the coastline of Venezuela. The Earth spins at the equator at around 1,000 miles per hour. Okay, now consider you're a marksman out in outer space. and you've got an asteroid, and you're going to take your asteroid and toss it at Earth, and you want to make a prediction that it's going to hit the coastline of Venezuela within a certain targeted number of days or weeks or whatever. At the rate that the Earth is spinning, and now Venezuela is just a little bit north of the equator, but basically it's, let's say for all practical purposes, it's moving at around 1,000 miles an hour. That coastline is moving at 1,000 miles per hour. And now this is like hitting a bullet with a bullet. The coastline is moving at 1,000 miles an hour. You have a bolide, supposedly, that was going to come in and hit within a few-day window. Well, right there you can tell that that's total misinformation, because the timing would have to be such that it would have to be down to a couple second window of opportunity. And plus, the data on this asteroid, this alleged asteroid, would have to be so accurate. Now, we have seen many asteroids come by Earth, between the Moon and Earth, recently, because now they have better tracking, they have better telescopes that are looking in the near Earth, you know, the NASA Near Earth Asteroid Research Reconnaissance Program. The military has very good equipment. Some of that information does filter through to the public, but they can't tell you much more than within a couple hours of when one of these things is going to pass by Earth. And they really don't have, even with sophisticated equipment for tracking and observation and then computer programs to accurately project the orbits of these objects, they can't tell you more than a day in advance whether one of these things is going to hit the Earth or miss by, you know, 50,000 miles or 200,000 miles. They can't tell you. So how does somebody that doesn't have any legitimate equipment or background or scientific knowledge, some of these total disinformation internet nutcases out there go, it's going to be in this five-day window and it's going to hit the coastline of Venezuela? We are talking rods from gods again, rods from God type of military activity. And then if one came in, it would be just like Russia. Gee, boys and girls, what a coincidence that this thing just happened to hit the coastline of Venezuela. Well, these are, once again, they were talking about targeted military kinetic energy weapons, but with a load in them. Either it could have been a, once one of these things hits, depending on the nuclear load in it, the nuclear explosion, you could make these look like an extremely large asteroid. Okay. But I have a suspicion here that this is probably what happened with that event last May in Venezuela. Russia got wind of it. Of course, the scientists there are good. They know what's going on. They know it's a false flag. They gave the information to Putin. Putin picked up the phone, called Obama, and he says, listen, whatever. Whatever Putin calls Obama when he calls him up to tell him where the bear goes in the woods. If you do this, you're going to have serious consequences. And so, of course, it didn't happen. And so I suspect, I mean, I can't tell you for sure, but I suspect that's probably the conversation that came down. But the very clear that there was an intention to drop a rod from God on Venezuela as a, possibly what you might call a shot over the bow. That's last May. So that is four recent events, three of them real, one of them hypothetical, of the use for rods from God on civilian populations. Now you might ask, how do you know who's doing this? Well, let's look at who gained. In Ecuador, who were the winners? When the International Monetary Fund moves in, clearly, you know, we think of, gee, the United States didn't win. You have to remember, the United States now is just a player on the world scene of the banking cartel. And it's not necessarily in the United States' best interest. When the Clintons took millions of dollars in bribes, sold off the uranium in Oregon to a Canadian company, which was a front for a Russian company, and all that orange or that yellow rock up in Oregon is going to be going to Russia at a song dance price. You are not gaining from this. So you have to understand that on the international, when you talk about something like the Council on Foreign Relations, which is, if you just look into it and see who owns and operates that deal, but all the presidents that have actually been in office have come up through that deal and been part of the international decisions. And that is a front organization, as is the UN, as are so many other, the Southern Poverty Law Center. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of agencies which are simply front agencies for public effect and putting pressure on organizations, on states, on governments, on elected officials, on the whole laundry list of influences that are dealt around the planet these days. So it's when you ask about who are the winners, don't think that you or I are the winners, because that's never going to happen. That's not in the cards at all. Who are the winners? Well, if the Clintons are selling our uranium to a Canadian company and Russia gets it and taking bribes, well, first of all, they're the winners because they got millions of dollars in their foundation because of this. So who are the winners? Who are they working for? Who are the benefactors? Who are the middlemen who are taking care of business in the United States? And remember that Hillary Clinton did all of this while she was Secretary of State, because you could never sell off uranium in the United States, which is potentially could be used for bombs to bomb us with nuclear bombs. Russia has probably better than two-thirds control right now of the international uranium market. China just took over a big deposit of uranium in Ecuador. So the movement is on to garner uranium rights around the world. The rush is on. The uranium, there are a number of companies, and I don't know how this is going to shake out in Alberta. If Russia is going to end up with it, much of that uranium already is going to Russia from Alberta. But will China get a piece of the action? The United States, you got the BLM in there, which was covering for the Clinton operation up in Oregon. It looks like United States interests are up in Alberta, making sure that big forest fire continues burning, burns off the whole area where they can get in and get at that uranium. This all is making a lot of sense. But there's a grab now. Back in the early 2000s, literally 16 years ago, remember on the cover of Forbes magazine, January 1st issue or whatever, around the New Year's issue of 2000, they had Billy Clinton on the cover saying, Man of the Year, Billy Clinton, oh boy. But the main article in that same issue said that water would be the oil of the coming millennium. And that's literally what was going on. But Billy's good buddy, George Bush Sr., their good drug buddies back in the old MENA, Arkansas days, which moved, by the way, to Waco, a little place called Waco, Texas. And that's why when Hillary Clinton was first in office, it was her first job on duty to push Janet Reno to burn out the Branch Davidian compound there, including killing all the women and children, because they all knew that the Clintons and the Bushes were running their cocaine drug operation out of the airport there. That's all well known now. So they had to move to Waco because things got too hot in MENA, Arkansas. But interestingly enough, just a little political note, the two Bush presidents, George Sr. and George Jr., just contributed to the Clinton political campaign. And so they're walking from the Republican Party, donating, and they show Billy Clinton there shaking George Sr.'s hand, and then there's George Jr. in the background with the big S-eating smile on his face. As they're these top Republicans are moving in to support Hillary, because guess who? There's another guy on the scene that's going to take them all to the cleaners and put Hillary in prison where she belongs. And the rest of those people might be on the red carpet right behind her once they start digging into 9/11 and everything else that these people have been up to, creating false wars, you know, creating false information for wars, you know, you name it. I mean, these people have got a long, long list, not to mention all the people they've killed to be where they are today. But back to Ecuador, back to Russia, back to Turkey, back to Venezuela, an instrument called Rod from God. There's no doubt that the Ecuador earthquake was man-made. Now you can see why. There was a lot at stake there. And that country has just been robbed from out from under its feet. Just a quick mention here at the end of the show. There's a tremendous marine die-off going on. This is unheard of. Vast amounts of dead sea life is washing up on the Chilean coast, and many of these die-offs are in inland lakes, large inland lakes down in South America, other places, reports in from Hawaii, very large die-offs. The whales, when they come in, are emaciated. They're starving to death because there's no food out there for them to eat. The Great Barrier Reef, as I announced last week, very definitely being killed off. This is all coming from Fukushima. The scientists, the alleged scientists, are claiming that this is due to a high El Nino or global climate change or a red or green algae or whatever. Anything but the measurement of radiation, which is killing the Pacific Ocean. Fukushima is boiling over. Japan has not done anything to contain it, in spite of claiming that they have spent $23 billion, probably in total graft and corruption going into political pockets. I have not had time to cover this topic. Emails coming in about black chemtrails being seen now, not just the regular whitish-colored chemtrails. Please visit my webpage, jmccsci.com. Remember, this is a commercial-free radio show. I pay for my own airtime. Your purchases on the webpage help out and keep everything going here. But anyway, you get great products, the water filter products, my books, library of books, etc. Once again, website JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.